everyone, and welcome back to the Royal Watcher podcast. I'm Saad Salman, the founder of the Royal Watcher.
And my name's Sam Gillespie. I am the editor of the Beaumont. I have a background in fine jewelry and royal history.
And today we're joined by two very special repeat guests, Jacob and Casper.
Hi there. I'm back again.
Welcome back.
Hello, all three of you. It's so nice to be back.
Perfect. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Royal Watcher podcast. And today we're discussing Prince Christian of Denmark's spectacular 18th birthday celebrations, which have really been, I think, one of the highlights of this year. And today we're joined by Sam, of course, and also our repeat guests, Jacob and Casper.
Thank you very much. It's so good to be back.
Yeah, our Scandinavian correspondent. Thank you for having
us again. Yes.
I think you start giving you a title under.
But you're so right. I feel it was a highlight. It was such a pleasure to sit and watch it yesterday.
Yeah, I think really it's one of those celebrations that we've been looking forward to basically ever since Christian was born, in a sense. And because this is basically his last big birthday celebration until his 50th. So it's an amazing opportunity to see everyone and him being kind of feted.
But we have also been so excited because how will they do it? What will the procedure be this time? I mean, we have seen how they have done it in the past, but like they took a very modern take on it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's been the birthday celebrations we saw in Norway last year and then this time in Denmark. There's really been this habit of modernizing things, and the heirs who are, they're doing it in a much kind of more, on much slower pace than their parents, but in such a scale, equally kind of fitting their status as future monarchs.
Mm-hmm. And so and they're trying to bring in the people of the country in it.
Yes, rather than just like being the nobility or foreign royals. That's one of the aspects I liked about Christian celebrations in general, is how even with a documentary that was released a few days ago, it was not more about Christian. It was about people his age exploring kind of the constitution and...
Exactly. And there will be programs about him and his personality later on, but this was about like of his age and knowledge to young people in general.
Yeah, it was really refreshing take, I feel, on this matter. So let's get into it. The celebrations began when Ernst Christian and his family, as well as Queen Margarita, appeared on the balcony of his parents' palace in Amalienborg. I forget which number it is.
They don't go by numbers, but they have the nobility name of the nobility family who built it, and then they also go by the last king who used to live there.
So I believe the last one was Queen Margarita's father, so it would be Frederick the
Ninth. Yes.
Okay. So that and the Frederick the Ninth Palace, and this was where Queen Margarita. So I actually had never really noticed before, but there were three separate kind of. They came on the balcony, then they left for a minute, and then came back on three times, which I found quite interesting because it was such a short gap in between.
Yeah.
I didn't really. Do you know if there's like a special significance behind that, or is that just because people kept on calling them out again?
People that kept calling out, but I think it's normal to see them like three times when they normally do it on Her Majesty's balcony. But this time, you could really hear that the people were cheering on him when he came out on the balcony. So that was a pleasure to experience that.
Yeah, it was a pretty decent crowd outside.
Yeah, it was quite good, yes. And they had the garter walked around. They had like it's called the king's way to do it on this grand day. So it's with a lot of pomp and circumstances when they walk around. through the Copenhagen before they end up at the palace. And that's like 10 minutes before they go on the balcony. They arrive, the whole garter. And then it's called the change of the guard. So it's like in a galloway. It's quite amusing and beautiful. I think people who can watch it on TV, on TV, could see it with a drone from top, that it's quite elegant to see how they were doing it on the square.
Yes, it was quite an impressive visual. I remember watching it on the live feed, and it was I made the time go away quite faster because people were waiting in anticipation for them to appear, and that's a really way to spend your time watching that.
Yeah. But it was so beautiful when they came out, and, you know, the whole family. And but what really struck me, like, in a good way, was when they came out, their birthday boy with his father and the queen, like those three generations together on the balcony. That was like, that was a big moment.
Yes, because this is one of those things that's happened very rarely in a Danish history. And I think the last time it happened was in the reign of King Christian the Ninth.
It was. It's so, it's now we have one who's waiting for the throne and one who is a crown prince. And so we have like several generations. It has been a long time since we had that.
Yeah. And that kind of impressive, the way the line is so secure, is just really nice to see. And all of eight, because now that Christian is of age, he can act as regent and take all those duties as council of state.
Yeah, I think it's on the 14th of November, he will participate in state council, where he will be like anointed or appointed to have this role where he can take over, they say, but he will not be able to like put his signature on laws or something, but it's just to be a substitute for the monarch.
Definitely. And it does free up quite a lot of people, because at this point, we've seen in recent months how Friedrich and Mary, one of them have had to stay back in Denmark for something or other, is abroad, because they need to have someone at this region at all times. And
we have that tradition in Denmark. There has to be one sitting back from the family. It cannot be a country without a royal person.
Which must be with as small as they're making monarchies these days, it will get harder and harder to enforce.
Yeah, definitely, when they slim down the line.
Well, Sweden has the same. I don't know if it's a law. I think it's a law, but but they decided to that if the king or the monarch is in Northern Europe or Northern Western Europe, and he can get back in a day or something, then they don't need a reason.
Yes, I think it's when they sleep over. Makes sense.
I would wonder if maybe the queen was on like the royal yacht. That might make it easier for them. Like,
If she's sailing in the Danish, what you say, sea, then it's not an issue.
Yeah, but then abroad, it's harder to exercise those same duties.
Yeah.
But there's no regent. Is there a regent if the monarch goes to Greenland or the Faroe Islands?
It's part of Denmark, so yeah, it's okay.
Mm?
Even though she has to perhaps sail through Norwegian water or something, but that's okay. That's accepted.
That's one of those legal gray areas where they're able to
slip. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, so I find it the kind of whole constitutional role and how essential kind of this aspect is quite interesting, and one of the most fascinating kind of parts of monarchy.
Yeah,
they can't ever really go take a family vacation to another country.
Nope, not everybody.
So we had this, and then at the lunch, I believe they had afterwards, Prince Christian was presented with the Order of the Elephant by Queen Margrethe.
That is so true. And this elephant previously belonged to his grandfather, Prince Henrik. So that's a very nice touch.
Yes, and I believe they did change the monogram because it had his father-in-law's.
Yes, it was King Frederick the IX's monogram on it. So what they did, they gave the elephant a small restoration and they painted a new monogram on it. It's a man called Ronnie who is doing these things in the House of the Medals and Orders.
Yeah, no, it's really splendid. Though I somehow remember Prince Henrik wearing a diamond star of the elephant.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know if he actually got that one too, but he was Mr. Extravagant.
Yes, I believe that Queen Margrethe is probably saving that for something. This is the original star, and she's like, "That's all you're having for now."
Yeah.
And then he also received the Norwegian Order of St. Olaf, which is a really nice kind of tradition because it was Princess Ingrid Alexander was given the elephant for her 18th, and he got the Norwegian highest order.
Yes. And I think it's the good old family ties that are doing this because we don't do it with Sweden. It's only with Norway.
Yeah.
But I suspect that that's more because of Sweden than because of Denmark or Norway, because order statues or whatever order statues say that it's the order of the seraphim is only for heads of states or people who are the same rank as heads of states. So it wouldn't be, it's not really allowed to give it, to hand it out to the grandchild of a foreign monarch. But I think that if you make an exception for the first in line.
And I think in Sweden, it's more given for an event in that sense. They don't necessarily hand out for only in like state visits. They don't give out a seraphim or other orders for like normal events. Like for example, both Mary and Metimar, they both got their the Danish and Norwegian orders just on very randomly in that sense. There was no essentially like big event that was happening.
A friend of mine suggested that or wondered why the king didn't give Ingrid Alexandra and the Christian, for instance, the Order of the Polar Star. But he didn't.
No.
So he didn't. I don't think he wanted to. He's very set in his ways.
Yes.
As old men are.
And so I think it's one of those things about their different rules of each country, and Denmark and Norway definitely just have a lot like easier rules. So we shouldn't necessarily think of it as an insult from the Swedish side that they didn't give an order. It's just they're tied because of themselves.
Yeah, I don't think they get offended here. It's just like it's nice when they get something I expected, and
Yeah, so from here, I think this is like the daytime event, and this was really the main public event. But in the evening, they invited 200 guests from around Denmark to attend.
Yes,
which was really special.
And they did it in a very new way.
Yeah.
So they asked all. It's almost one. I think it's 98 Danish communes to participate with two young people. It wasn't specified it should be a girl or a boy, but two young people, and it's they should be 18 years of age, and all different communes could do it in the way they wanted. They just have to choose two, And then there was two from Faroe Islands and two from Greenland. And there were two young people also from the small Danish-German community from south of Jutland. So they were the 200. And beside that, there was a young artist, not famous one, but young stars in the making. So it's kind of lining up to the Crownsprint couple's award prize that they are trying to
boost. Daughter was there.
So, sorry, Jacob, sorry? Say that again. That sound was really bad.
I said Jamie Lannister's daughter was there. For those who are
Marcella, didn't she die? What?
So, a big kind of crossover from across not just like Danish society and like celebrity worlds, but it was really nice that we were involved in the celebration.
Yeah, and the only friends that were invited was his godparents. They are friends of the father. It's called Jeppe Handberg and his wife, but no noble friends, no one of Prince Christian's own friends were invited.
Yeah. I actually found that very kind of unique that there was almost like no extra people there, especially because we'll talk about it later, but there were a couple of more like family members that were in town, but they didn't invite to this
and
thing.
And they didn't participate either in this, but there will be a private party, and there was also one later.
That's very interesting. And like we were discussing about the Order of Elephant, so Prince Christian was wearing it that evening, and I don't think he's wearing the star, so he's gotten the proper star so far, whereas you can see Queen Margrethe is wearing a diamond star.
Yes.
And looks quite... So
are his coat buttons bejeweled?
I think that he's just like King Charles. These he had five buttons on his white vest, and they were for sure with some stones, but we couldn't see which one.
Ooh.
But they were bejeweled.
Ooh. I like it.
So, you have to see some close-up pictures of it, but that is a nice sign for a young guy to have this, I think.
And that might also be one of those things he might have gotten from Prince Henrik, who was kind of known for having a...
Definitely.
Yeah, and I did see some comments talking about why does he have so many medals if he's just 18?
Yeah.
But those are for the Queen Margrethe's birthdays, for jubilees, and of...
Yeah, they are all memorials.
Yes. So that not for military service, these are just commemorative medals for lots of kind of in the Inshore family. And similarly, we'll see a bunch of medals on his cousin, Count Felix, and those are also for the same reason.
Yes, so, because he also didn't attend military.
Yes, much to the chagrin of his father, who wanted him to. So let's get on to Queen Margrethe, who's wearing, as we discussed just a few months ago, she wore this almost the same combination for the Norwegian official visit. She's wearing the Danish pearl plot tiara with the crown ruby and pearl power.
Yes, I think this is the third time in a row she's wearing this tiara, but she's also quite fond of it. It's part of the fideikommis, so it's privately so owned by the royal family, but they cannot sell it.
Actually, I believe it's the fourth time because she wore it for New Year's as well.
Yeah, yes. And it's actually 200, it's 200 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I remember we saw it together, the three of us. Sorry, Sam, you're not with us, but at the exhibition in Copenhagen. And we were all when we saw it, it's beautiful.
Actually, I remember when we went that day, we didn't see it in the exhibition, but I saw her wearing it that evening.
Yes.
So,
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's because Jacob and I, we went at a later date again, and that one.
Both really made sense. vision because you saw it quite a few times.
Only 7 times.
Well, it was worth.
Yes, but I had an annual card for the museum just because of that.
It was one of the most highlight museums of the past like decade or so. We won't really see an exhibition like that for a while.
It's quite unique.
Definitely, and I mean, I was expecting that she'd wear this gown for sure, but I was hoping she'd wear the crown, the diamond peru from the crown jewels, the massive necklace. Yeah.
When is the last time we saw that? Was it at the wedding in 2004 or something?
I believe she wore that for her 70th birthday.
It could be. Okay, yeah. 2010. I just miss it so much. I miss it.
It's such a long time, and I really want to see it. Maybe she's saving that or the emeralds for the Spanish state visit next month.
Yeah. Oy. Could be that. Would,
yeah.
Because definitely Leticia will bring some big guns.
Yes. And we need Queen Margarita to compete with big diamonds too.
Because, well, we will take her in a moment. We all expected like Mary would come in her rubies, but she didn't. Came in her wedding tiara.
For the second time in a row, which I think is a bit of an overkill. I mean, yeah. I love this, but I feel like this is like the third time she's wearing this combination, this tiara, this gown, and these earrings. So it was very kind of, she's very forgettable for her entire look.
Yeah. I don't understand why it's like they are a little afraid of bringing out the big gun. They have to.
I was actually quite like, curious about her because I was really hoping she would bring it out because this is the occasion, if any, to wear the big gun. And then the fact that she's just wearing the small tiara, maybe, I mean, Isabella's birthday is a year or so away. She's going to give one of those to Isabella soon. So,
yeah, I think so too.
Get the most use out of it while she can.
Yeah. Let's agree on that. Yeah. That's a deal.
And then we saw Princess Isabella wearing. We just discussed Crown Princess Mary's look in Sweden with this strapless gown and the scarf, and Princess Isabella is almost reading this almost similar type of outfit with the hair parted to one side and that same look, which I found was really nice and appropriate for her age.
Yeah, very. She looked young and elegant.
And she was also wearing Princess Mary's amethyst earrings for the first time, which was a nice kind of big jewel to wear for this sort of thing.
It was. There were these long dangling earrings, definitely. They suited her. She has a neck for it.
Yeah, I love that the siblings were invited to this banquet because that's a bit rare to see in Danish events. But it was a nice touch and that they were able to involve.
It's like in recent years when there have been some like family birthdays or special days, they have actually invited the young kids, and it wasn't normal in the past, definitely not. So it's a new thing.
Even if you think about Crown Prince Frederick's 50th birthday, we didn't see any of the kids there.
Nope.
Very odd. But this is a nice touch to that, and this way I feel when by the time they come of age and are attending these events, they already have some experience of it.
Yes, it's good to prepare them, but I think it's because when Crown Prince Frederick turned 50, it was like a state occasion or like a official. So and this was more like a private official, but the only minister who was there was the culture minister. Not even the prime minister was there yesterday.
So it was a much more low-key thing than with the white tie and tiaras and stuff. Still not as big of a deal. That's how you do it for other countries. Have the tiaras for us, but don't make it a big deal.
Yep.
And then we get on to Prince Joachim and Princess Marie.
It was nice to see them back home in Denmark.
Yeah. And I think we've seen Princess Marie wear this gown before, but I can't recall where.
And I couldn't recognize it, to be honest. But I'm more into the jewelry than the dresses. So,
and she was wearing her usual Princess Dalmar's floral tiara.
Yes. It's such an elegant tiara. It's really put together in a nice way.
And we also saw the young kids, and it was nice to see them, Count Felix and Henrik and Athena.
Yes, and Athena, she looks so gorgeous. And also nice to see Henrik. He's like, he will be a very tall man like his father.
Yeah. No, it's really fun to see kind of how these kids are growing up and attending these sort of events, the way they behave and carry themselves, because we see those traits going into later life, like we see old footage of Frederick and Joachim, and even before that. And then on the other side, we have Queen Anne-Marie and Princess Benedicte, who were there as a great aunts, and quite run-of-the-mill outfits for them. I really like Queen Anne-Marie. I feel she's worn that gown quite a lot in recent weeks.
Yes. So, and it's not my favorite. She's elegant, but I need some more.
Yeah. I mean, for the emeralds or the rubies. And this does kind of make me think that she has probably given them to Pavlos and Marie Chantal, because she was wearing the Khedive tiara again, which is one of her like personal jewels.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen any of the kind of so-called crown jewels of the Greek royal family. So she's back to her personal stuff. And the sapphire necklace hasn't been seen since the 90s.
I thought she sold that one.
Yes, that's
me too. It was surprised to see it.
Yeah. So a nice kind of touch. And then she's back to kind of using her run-of-the-mill jewels, which she never really used to use before. So it's interesting that her daytime jewels are now appearing in the evening, like that brooch.
Hmm.
Yes. It's quite interesting to see, yeah.
Yeah, because that brooch was a gift from King Constantine to mark the birth of Pavlos. And to see her wearing it is probably one of the... She's wearing it quite a lot. She wore the coronation in the UK this year, and she's wearing it on a couple occasions. So it's one of those... I think she probably wears it to remind her of the king.
Hmm.
Definitely. And you can really be assured that they were in love, and he... is greatly missed.
Oh, definitely. And then we saw Princess Benedicte wearing probably one of her not so nice gowns. I think Casper and Jacob had some words for when we first saw her. But she's
dreadful. Well, I actually like the design of it, but the colors we can always discuss. But I think the design is daring on her. It's nice.
Yeah.
I think her little sister should take a little from that design.
Yeah, I find it really kind of funny how her and Anne-Marie's kind of necklines are contrasting each other's.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And Mary has the same in her dress.
Yes. So we saw...
I don't know the professional term of it, but it's like it's cut in a diagonal or...
Yeah, diagonal.
No, yeah.
And it does kind of seal the sashes nice on either side. So it does work. It's made for orders, basically.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. But it's beautiful to see women of their beautiful age still elegant and regal.
Yes, because they're both older than my grandmothers. And I can imagine them even right now wearing anything remotely similar. Because they feel
Benedicta, she will turn 80 next year, so I expect a big party there.
Well, actually, that might be a good event to look forward to for next year.
Yes. Oh, finally. Yes, we have to start the list.
It's going to be a bit of a drought afterwards. This was kind of the last big event for a while.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, what is the next coming up? That must be the Nobel.
Well, there's in terms of like state visits and tiaras and stuff, we have...
Of course, there's the state dinners, yes.
Yes, which is, I mean, the royal state visits are actually really fun because they bring us more things to look forward to.
Yeah.
So I have this month, right, there's the a Portuguese state visit to Belgium. There's the Dutch to South Africa later this week. There's a French state visit to Sweden. Then the Spanish state visit to Norway. The British state visit to Kenya. And then the South Korean state visit to England. There's a South Korean state visit to the Netherlands coming up. And then there's
the Spanish to Denmark, yes.
Yes. There's going to be a diplomatic reception in the UK, a parliamentary banquet in Norway, the Nobels. There's a representation dinner in Sweden. So there's, I think, a good dozen or so TR events to look forward to this month, for the rest of the year. But then for next year, instead of the usuals, there's no like special jubilee or wedding or birthday, anything kind of we can look forward to for the next 2 or 3 years when that might give us TRs or anything like that.
That is something we look forward to.
Yes, especially after the 2 or 3 years we've had with all these events happening. I think we've had 3 jubilees, a bunch of birthdays and big galas and celebrations on like an unprecedented scale for the past 2 years, 2022 and 23. So I'm back to Benedict, where she wore her French tiara and then these amethysts that she inherited from Queen Ingrid.
Yes, and I'm sure she was wearing this bangle with the beautiful amethyst, where there is something written in letters with diamonds in the amethyst. I think it was that bracelet, but it was like turning or twisting.
Ooh, that's really interesting. But
we have to look closer to some of the pictures when they are.
When they're published, yeah, because these are just the initial ones, definitely. And then now let's move on to Crown Princess Victoria, who came with Prince Daniel and Princess Estelle. And I mean, we knew she'd be wearing her laurel wreath tiara again because she wore the Baden fringe a few weeks ago and she never really goes to appearances without wearing this. But it's nice to see her wear it with the Queen Josephina's diamond stomacher necklace rather than the usual diamond revere that Jacob and we keep complaining about. And it was a best gown. So I think it was a nice appearance, all things considered.
It was nice to see that.
Dead boring. I'm sorry. I love Victoria. Yeah. But it was so boring.
It's not my favorite necklace, but it has like some sparkle to it. But definitely, I think you're right, Jacob.
Yes.
I must say that her dress is very lovely. That empire waist silhouette suits her very, very well. But she, I don't know what's happened to the Bernadotte ladies. Victoria, she always wears the same jewels, almost the same. Right. Sophia always wears the same jewels. There's no playing around anymore.
I was wondering something. Do you think it's a signal that they are sending out? Like, yeah, they know, or we know they have it, but there's a lot of people who is not that interested in it. They might think it could be too flashy in these days, modern times, and they have to like cut back on the use of them, or it's just a thought.
No, I don't think so. I just think that I think it was at the last time I was a guest, we talked about I said something about the bracelet that Victoria was wearing, the old money bracelet, and I said that we're going to see it 100 times now because Victoria only has a very few pieces that she keeps on rotating, and
yes, continue. I was saying that it is probably a good sign that she wore this tiara now, because that means for the French state visit next week she'll wear something else at least.
Don't be sure.
I think for that, she might wear the cut steel tiara.
Yes, I think,
Yes. Because I just think to try something new.
Yeah, we will see the French heirlooms on both the queen and the
times at this point. She wore the Baden fringe, I think, 75 times, and she's the laurel wreath has been worn a good 25 times. So those three are basically her top favorites this one.
Yes. For those who notice these kind of things, Victoria was wearing her orders, the stars on the wrong side when she arrived at Christiansborg. Yes. But when they entered the knight's hall, she had moved them to the correct side.
Yeah, I was actually wondering, as we'll talk about later, but I believe it might be something like Queen Margrethe probably pointed out, like, that's wrong, fix it. But she couldn't say the same to Princess Marie Chantal, who wore her sash entirely wrong.
No, but she changed, didn't she change it?
No, she didn't change it. Marie Chantal, she did?
Yeah.
Wait. I have it later on. Oh, she did. Who?
Yes.
I noticed that. Okay. Yeah, they both had a telling off from Aunt Daisy.
Yes. Could you please fix that?
Question. Why is it so important which shoulder it goes on? Why does it matter?
I think it's part of this rules and regulations behind it. But to be honest, I don't know why it should be exactly from that one. But it could be like, could it be a military thing? I'm sure there's a reason for it.
It's just a thing that was decided, when the order was founded. The different orders were founded. They decided this and that.
Yes. And I mean, if you look at it, Daniel's wearing the Swedish Order of the Seraphim, and the color is pretty similar. So if they were both wearing the same direction, you wouldn't really be able to distinguish it just looking at it. But this way, I feel like you can tell if that's the Danish one because it's worn from that shoulder, and that's the Swedish one because it's worn from the other shoulder.
Mm, okay.
But that's just been my personal kind of thing. Probably not the reason why.
I'm trying to find out of this, but it seems like also a lot of these ribbons that you get for different things that people can participate in goes in the same way. From the right, is it the right shoulder and down?
Yeah. Those interesting things about orders of chivalry and their kind of very specific rule set, you don't really question them at all.
Sorry, you were falling out.
So I was just saying that we don't really question the rules of this orders at all, and if it's written down, people just have to follow them.
Yeah,
but they can't change them. I mean, the Swedish royal orders have had their insignia, their insignias and their ribbons and stuff changed. There have been a few alterations now after the order reform. From January 1st they changed not the order of the seraphim but some stuff with the other orders, so they can change them if they want to.
Okay.
I
remember something about it, Prince Philip and King Constantine, sometimes they were wearing them like under the chest and down like this ribbon. It goes in a funny way. Do you remember that?
Yes, yeah, I do remember.
Like it's not going on the shoulder. It looks so funny, silly.
Yeah, the Germans were inside their white tie waistcoats, which always kind of looks a bit odd for most people.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we had the Norwegians. All three of them were in the elephant. So, and luckily, no order mishaps.
Mm.
Well, so, I just said, wow, when I saw them. I know you don't think the same, Jacob, but when I saw them, wow, these colors.
They look very, very nice.
Yeah, the vow is definitely there. It's when you start looking at the specifics, probably. Yeah. Again, I think we're talking about this direction of the order, but I feel like Ingrid Alexandra probably planned for this gown to wear the sash on the other direction. And she probably kind of realized last minute that, no, it's worn this direction. And I always find it kind of weird when they wear one-shouldered gowns, but the sash is in the opposite direction because it just kind of looks a bit unkempt.
I don't know about the Order of the Elephant, but in Sweden, at least, there's the tradition that they don't always follow, but they mostly do, that the lady, that the ribbon, or the sash, sorry, should not be against naked skin. So you can often see the Swedish princesses that they just have a, what you call it, spaghetti strap. Yeah. Over the shoulder that they have under the sash so that it's not directly against the skin.
Yeah, and I believe Madeline has worn a couple of gowns that look strapless, but when you look at the pictures, there's actually a very fine net over everything.
Yeah, exactly.
That messy part. And that, I think that is probably a good rule to have, because this sort of thing, especially with the scarf, it just looked like a bit of a last minute alteration that she kind of had to do to make it look, make a bit of sense. Though I do like that she's repeating her mother's gowns and not necessarily going out and buying new designer stuff like other her other counterparts.
Yeah, but I like that you see this in this, especially in the Scandinavian or the Nordic royal houses, that you see the young girls are wearing their mother's dresses.
Yeah, it's a very nice touch. And similarly, I think this is the best gown that Karin's Mette Marit has worn in the past couple of years. And it was really nice to see her looking so well, even though we didn't really get any new, nothing new from the jewel department. Just good to see her there.
Yes.
Definitely. It was nice that she's back in business. Yes, it's terrible with her disease, but it was nice and to see her happy and smiling among yes. friends and relatives.
It was a good touch. And I think, talking about the jewels, let's start with Mette Marit. She's wearing her usual diamond daisy bandeau with her pendant earrings and yeah. Queen Maud's aquamarine brooch. And then if yeah, you look...
it's beautiful.
It's just stunning. And when she arrived, she was wearing Princess Ingrid Alexandra's Royal Order Victoria and Albert bracelet. But now that you see when she was going into the Knight's Hall, it's not there.
Well, so, maybe she put it in a purse.
Yes, because her daughter's like, "It's why'd you wear my bracelet?" Which is definitely something my sister would do.
That is so, it's all these fun, small details that we often don't see, but you're so good in pointing them out.
Yeah, it's one of those things. We're looking at all these different pictures. I was making that like, wait, where's the bracelet there? Because I was like, that's a good angle, and then just disappeared.
And why is her mother borrowing her daughter's bracelet?
She's worn it a few times before, and as we talked about.
But it's funny, it's that way around.
Yeah, rather than the daughter borrowing the mother's jewels, because, I mean, yes. The mother has jewels to begin with, so.
But and now where they're going to the same function, it's funny that the daughter is not wearing it for such an occasion. But.
Yeah, and then we saw Ingrid Alexandra wearing Princess Ingeborg's pearl tiara with Arta's earrings, which I believe you were the one who told me that they come from Queen Josefina.
Yes, the Norwegian author. Tonnerin Isaksen, he wrote it on his Instagram.
Yes.
And if anyone should know, it's him. So, and he says that, so she's the eighth generation to wear these earrings, which is quite fantastic, actually.
It is.
Such a living kind of link with history.
But they are not the one where the center is interchanging, Bill, is it?
These are the ones that sapphires until the 40s. Okay. And then, so I think they're, well, they haven't been used as sapphires for a long time. So who knows if those sapphires still exist, but in theory, they could be.
Yeah.
And then she's and on her wrist wearing Princess Martha's diamond bracelet, which was her 18th birthday present from King Harald and Queen Sonja.
Yeah, and that was also from, used to belong to Ragnhild, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Along with the tiara.
Sorry, you're falling out?
Yes, I'm saying I was bracelet and the earrings as well as the tiara all came from Ragnhild's collection. Yeah.
Well, I'm still hoping every time I see someone from Norway that one will bring out the big tiara from Ragnhild, but I have to wait a little.
Yes, I mean, they do have that parliamentary dinner coming up in a few days, so maybe Mette Marit might be inspired.
Could be nice.
Wouldn't count on it.
Oh, no. Me neither.
Don't. You'll only be disappointed.
Yes.
But I mean, I do love this gown and like this whole people do compare her a lot to Elsa of Frozen fame. This
is like really.
Yes, yeah, I didn't think about that, but yeah.
Yeah.
So. Quite
a while. I do like this. I think we should have more of Casper singing this episode.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just got... Yeah. I will behave.
Yeah, and then Håkon was in a uniform again. And I really find the mix of kind of uniforms and white tie really interesting because it's mainly the Danes that do it where they have more uniforms or where we don't really see that a lot in other countries.
Do you think he's doing it to honor, like, the tradition here, or...?
I think it's to do the tradition here, especially for foreign guests. It's very rare.
But the Swedes do it for the... this was Gala B in Denmark. I don't really know. We don't really have the same in Sweden, but for the top-notch, you know, like the Crown Princess... wedding, for instance, and the Golden Jubilee, I think the king wore a uniform.
Yes, and at the wedding, I remember King Albert of Belgium was also wearing a uniform. So probably that's one of those like, things where that was probably got A for that sense. So they have to kind of, and they were wearing collars, quite a lot of them too.
Yes.
So it's an interesting kind of mix of how even like in white tie, we normally think that's just kind of you wear the white tie, a sash, orders, a tiara and quality, but there's different kind of categories in that as well.
Yeah.
So we have the Norwegians here. And then my favorite, which was the Dutch and the Belgian crown princesses who both attended solo and both looked really lovely.
Do that. From the wedding in Spain, this Amelia, but they look so gorgeous. Really.
This and actually just reminded me that this is this a different color version of the same gown that Elizabeth wore for the Jordanian wedding.
Yeah.
So Amalia kind of probably was like, oh, that's nice. And she had it ordered for her.
That could very well be. But we got a tiara surprise from both of these young girls. We got the wolfers for Matilda. From Matilda that Elizabeth was wearing. And then we got the smaller sapphire for the Dutch princess.
Yes, the sapphire necklace tiara. And actually, the jewels are a very interesting touch because that was made from an necklace of Queen Emma's, but the toppers of that are from a sapphire tiara that used to belong to Queen Wilhelmina, and the necklace is Queen Wilhelmina's necklace, which can be worn with different stones. So she's wearing it with sapphires now, but it can be worn with diamonds, rubies, and also pearls. And then the bracelets, which are massive, are the bracelets from Queen Wilhelmina's sapphire pearl as well. So it's a very kind of amount of jewels they have, and it's just amazing.
We'll be lucky with her in the future because she really likes to wear
jewelry.
Yeah, and she can carry them off as well.
Yes. She's a beautiful young lady. I love that she had she has nice curves, and she's really, really, her personality shines through.
Yes, she's able to carry these jewels off without looking like they're wearing her, whereas Elizabeth, her big tiara makes it look like she's very overwhelmed. But Amalia can wear big stuff and carry it off with such an ease. But overall, I think Amalia was the best dressed in my eyes with the entire
color. Yeah. I like the design of Elizabeth's dress, but I think it's too pale for her right there. But it is an elegant design.
I feel like it could have used a necklace. And especially, she did get a necklace from the Belgian nobility for her 18th birthday. And she probably should have worn it, like Ingrid Alexandra wore her 18th birthday jewels, and would have been a nice kind of touch and would have made the outfit seem more complete where it's right now, especially compared to the mat of jewels that Amalia is wearing. She does look a bit.
And isn't it true that Elizabeth hasn't worn a tiara in her native country for like a state event yet, only for pictures?
No, actually, neither of them have worn a tiara in their native country yet. So neither Amalia or
Elizabeth. Both of them, yeah, of course. That's interesting. And they haven't
had any press release either. So they both wore a tiara first in Norway last year, and then Jordan wedding, and then this is their third tiara appearance. Well, Amalia wore a tiara again to that wedding in Austria a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But that was the same tiara and gowns. Kind of cancels itself out.
But it's funny to think that it's going on in other countries and not in their own. Well, of course, that could be an occasion, but...
Yes. I mean, it's one of those interesting things about gala events that Scandinavians do host a lot more. And I was thinking, and I'll mention it at the end, but the way they've been handling this sort of thing makes me think that in Sweden, there's not really... Crown Prince of Victoria's 18th birthday was not celebrated with a big gala. But... it might kind of change, and there we might get a similar kind of occasion for Princess Estelle's 18th, seeing how...
Oh, that would be nice.
That's something to look forward to in 7 years or so.
And interesting to see the picture in on that day in 7 years, because will some of them be married?
Mm.
Yes, that would be. That would be such a nice, interesting touch to see kind of how they progress over the years, especially from last changes. So,
but this picture of the five young persons in waiting there, it's a beautiful picture.
Mm.
And then let's move on to Marie Chantal, who wore the biggest tiara of the night. By far.
And it's the second time she wears it, and also again in Denmark.
And the third time, she wore it in Norway last year, too.
Okay, so, well, the first time she wore it was in Denmark.
Yes.
Many years ago.
And I feel
this time, the earrings are more beautiful.
Yes. I believe I actually like the Norwegian appearance most out of the three. This time, I feel like it's a bit too big for her hair. And kind of for the occasion where everyone else was kind of in smaller tiaras and toned down, it did kind of stand out a lot more and looked absolutely massive.
She would have done better with the fringe tiara, I think. However, I do love that tiara and I love seeing it. But yeah, there's no kind of altering it into the smaller version. If that makes sense.
But it was interesting to when you think of that she's from a non-existing royal country. And she wears the biggest one compared to the crown princesses from the other countries. They come with smaller stuff.
Well, suppose she doesn't have to worry about public opinion, does she?
Yeah, no, exactly. And she comes in as a private, that's all.
They were both there because Pavlos is the godfather of Christian. So.
Mm.
Yes.
And his kind of orders are really interesting because he's wearing the elephant. And then his collar is the Greek order of St. Constantine and St. George. And he's been wearing that a lot more recently when he never really used to wear it in the past at all.
Well, it's probably a sign of his new position.
Yes.
Yes. I believe he's began wearing it in 2017 for the Norwegian birthday, and then he's worn it at every gala event since. So I find it really interesting because that was around the time King Constantine stopped attending events, and he used to wear it all the time.
Mm. Yeah. So it's like to honor his daddy and his country.
Yes. And more interesting things. So on his the left side of his lapel, he has all his Greek and his Danish order. But on the right side is this little gold medallion, which is called the Centenary Badge of the Royal House of Greece, which belongs to Pavlos and all of his siblings, and celebrates the centenary of the Greek royal family in 1963. But the funny thing is, Pavlos and his siblings were all born after 1963.
I was literally about to say that. I was like, I swear they weren't born then.
Oh, so it's really funny that they have it, even though they weren't born.
What a funny detail. So yes, could it be because he's wearing it as a jewelry and not as a...
Yes, I mean, Anne-Marie wears it almost as a family order, and that's what the other kind of Greek ladies wear it as well. But it's very interesting to see how they wear it for this sort of event. I mean, they must probably have some leftover ones in the vault, and Constantine was like, might as well wear them if we have them.
Yeah, they're just laying around like you boys.
Yes. So we have that. And then Marie Chantal's kind of the rest of the look was pretty unremarkable. I didn't really like the gown. It did not really suit the gravitas of the tiara, I feel.
I don't mind the design of the gown, but for this occasion, it's a little...
It's probably... And she's kind of known for never repeating gowns. So if she made repeated one of those, that might have been a better option than getting a new gown. Because it must be hard trying to come up with something appropriate for every single gala fan.
Definitely. It's just what she is.
Yeah. And then we had, for kind of the rounding up all the royal guests, we had Gustav and Karina.
It was nice to see them again.
Yes, and they were actually the only kind of non-godparent guests there, which I was really happy to see them.
Do you think it's an honor to...
Christian is a godfather and their son.
Yeah, exactly. So... Yeah, exactly.
So there's...
And he actually said in his speech that he had a speech for his godson back in Berlepur a few months ago.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is. So he had a speech before this one yesterday.
Yeah, that would have been, and it would have given him more confidence because he did his speech really well, as we'll talk about in a minute or two. So right before we get on, I think Karina, I like her tiara, but I feel like, again, it's one of those things where Benedicta should probably give her the fringe and should have worn probably the pearl and star tiara, because Karina, the princess, and she should wear, like, to compete with Marie Chantal, she needs to wear something big.
Mm.
She, that could be a nice thing to pass it on to her.
Hopefully sometime in the future. But yeah, no, it was from run of the mill. I think it was, there's no kind of awful appearance, like no bad gowns or anything, but with the tiara choices, I think Mary was the most disappointing, and the rest did pretty good as far as it could be for an event, which is not an official state occasion.
Mm.
Yeah, and then talking about the speeches, which I think there were three main ones from Queen Margrethe, Crown Prince Frederick, and Prince Christian, and they were the highlight of the gala event, and you'll have to kind of talk a bit about that.
Well, I was so happy to hear the Crown Prince speech because he was he had so many signals in his speech that is close to his heart about young people with a telephone and get out and get some more exercise, you know, this royal run. And there was a lot of hints, but he did it in a very elegant way. And the best part of it, he presented it so well. We all know that he has been a little shy when he can talk, and he can talk about a lot, but we don't understand what he's saying. But there was only one time he stumbled, and he did it so nice. But the message in it was fantastic. And also the young prince, he was, of course, the birthday boy, very nervous, but he did really give a very good speech. And you could, of course, he had help to write it, but the message in there, there was a lot of message also to the other young people, both in his and his father's speech, to the young people in Denmark, but definitely also to the young people in the room, his guests. So it had a very nice touch.
Yeah, that's one of the things I found really fascinating about this entire birthday celebration, how catered was not just towards Christian, but towards young people of his age and his generation in general. And that really made it was a refreshing change and made it much more kind of acceptable. The reason they weren't just celebrating Christian, they were celebrating our generation. And the fact that they were able to be a part of that was really nice.
Mm. Yes. And they interviewed a lot of people during the day, also the young people that were participating and that signed up in the commune to hopefully get a spot for this party. And they say, well, a lot of them were not actually royal, like active royal fans, but they wanted to see what it was. So I think it's fresh that they signed up for this event to be in the competition to get a seat. Yeah, and even though Denmark is a monarchy where like almost 80% of the people is supporting it, it is the majority of older people that are supporting it.
And to see kind of young people not only be enthusiastic about it, but have the chance to participate in something like this is really kind of showing how valid and relevant that monarchy is in the future as well.
Yes. It sends a lot of signals.
It's from like a PR perspective, I think it's been a very good job the way they've managed this entire celebration and how his coming of age and really incorporating him into this role, which yes. It's a huge kind of undertaking to know that you're going to be sovereign and you have your life mapped out in front of you. But to do it, the apparent pressure that it, like Frederick had at his 18th birthday, is really refreshing, and his upbringing is a testament to that.
It definitely is.
So very impressive. And then after the speeches, here you can see a lot of the royal guests, and I found the placement of everyone quite interesting because they were all seated on circular tables, and everyone was spread out between all the royal guests.
Yeah, you can say there was not a main table, but of course the birthday boy sat next to the queen. And he had the princess of Norway next to him. And they were sitting in the middle of the room, but all others, they sat like two royals at a table with all the other normal Danish young people. So I think that was a very nice...
one Danish royal, one foreign royal, and then it was all kind of messed up. So it wasn't like a difference between those guests and the royal guests. They were all together.
So you could see a young boy or a girl from Jordan perhaps could sit next to the Queen of Greece, and she had her nephew Gustav on the other side. But so how often do you see that?
Yeah, it's very rare. And I remember you and Jacob were talking about the guy sitting beside Isabella.
Yes.
He's an influencer.
He's famous. He has been in a baking program. Baking, yeah. So, but he's actually extremely good. He's quite talented.
So,
and I know that she is a fan of this baking program. So I think that she was happy to sit next to him, even though she's older now.
Yes, it's probably like when they were doing the seating, she was like, "I want to sit next to him and discuss baking."
Yeah, give me the baking guy. Mm-hmm.
No, it was really nice to see, and there was like specific links in between. So there was Victoria with Frederick, there was Crown Prince Haakon with Mary, I believe, and then Joachim had Matty Meyer, and Marie had Daniel and Estelle. So it was good people around the table, and then we had Count Felix next to Elizabeth. And someone pointed out that Count Felix speaks French very well, and Elizabeth speaks French too, so they could have probably had a nice chat in French.
I will approve of that marriage.
Yes. I mean, they would be
You're here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they're a little... Are they enough far removed now? What are they, like, seventh cousins to each other?
They are, of course, related, but it's far out.
That's all right. That's all right. That's all we want.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
King Christian the Ninth is, like, the closest ancestor.
That's fine.
Yeah. And so, ancestor, quite a lot of royals at this point. So, and imagine his journey from prince to count back to prince.
That would be so funny.
Joachim would have be overjoyed at that.
And then king consort? Prince consort?
Yeah, he would be prince consort, I think. Mm-hmm. Or modern times would be that they use king consort, but I don't think so, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of level yet. Probably a few generations afterwards.
The mother life, that's true. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would not mind this. I would much... be more actively pursuing a royal bride if I could become king, but yeah, it was the seating and everything. I really liked it, and the way everyone seemed to be having someone familiar to them, and also the between the kind of other like the normal guests to be able to sit next to all these royals and be a part of everything rather than be removed and have the royals on one big main table. As like a separate entity.
I think it's been a very good beginning.
So we had this, and then after the banquet, we had, there's a surprise performance arranged by...
We could see there was a stage in the room, but it was not used during the television program, but after there was a concert with a famous Danish band.
Yes,
don't actually know them, but...
Here. Which
and then and even later there was actually at the same time as the when they were having this party in Christiansborg, there was also a big tent in the back of the Crown Prince couple's palace in Copenhagen, where young people started to arrive, and that must be the real after party with Prince Christian's friends and extended family, I think.
Yeah, I think it's nice that they were able to have this official celebration, but his like friends didn't have to go out and all buy gowns and white tie and be part of that. They can have their own celebration without kind of it being in public in front of the cameras.
And even though it's a Sunday evening, it's an autumn holiday in Denmark, so I think that's why it was possible to do it also.
Nice. And so they have the next week off.
They have, yeah.
That'd be great. So they can party all.
Yes.
And then one of the funnier kind of parts of the evening was the Danish official account posted a picture of this shoe, saying that someone was trying to be a Cinderella and left their shoe, but they should come get it back because Christian's not about to go riding across the kingdom, which
I love that touch. That is such a good sense of humor. It's very Danish, this humor.
And I think we can think of one person whose shoe that might be.
Mm-hmm.
Might be flying over from Monaco. So overall, what were your thoughts about this celebration, and what do you think really stood out for you?
So for me, I think it was what I hoped for, to see the young royal heirs from the other countries coming and joining in. Of course, I did hope for some more family and friends also to be there, but I also liked the way they did it with a young crowd. First, when we heard about it, was like, oh, why that? And why do they do this? But they always end up doing it in a good way. So that was quite a nice touch.
Definitely. And Jacob, what did you think?
It was what I expected. It was surprisingly grand. I mean, any banquet at the Christiansborg is grand because the palace itself is very, very, it's a real castle, you know. But they had, they struck the perfect balance between grand and, well, it would be wrong to say down to earth, but to, they grounded the grandness in a very good way. And I'm always excited to see the heirs come together. And I hope that we will see the next time they there is a big grand occasion that there will be even more heirs present.
Yes.
We're missing the British, the Luxembourg, and Liechtenstein roles, at least. So
and the
there's
Spanish.
Four...
And Spanish.
Yes, and she is turning 18 soon, so then she can start participating. And that would be lovely because we haven't seen her that much with the others.
No. Yeah. She's always working. They're always working.
I mean, she's busy in the military for the next 3 years.
Well, then send Infanta Sophia.
Yeah.
Oh, that was nice. I mean, those two girls have so much confidence at carrying out public duties. So I feel like they could do this much better than the ones who were kind of still in this cocoon of they have a parent who's an heir and they still have a lot of time to come to the throne, where the Spanish have much more pressure on them to kind of be public and be out there as much as possible.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop Amalia and Elizabeth, who are in the exact same position. So, and they will most likely be ascend their thrones earlier than Leonor, since they have a tradition of abdication in their country. So, but different countries, different traditions and habits.
Yes.
And different ways of looking at the monarch.
Yes, exactly.
That's definitely a really lovely celebration. And I think it's one of those things we'll remember for quite a long time, because there won't be a big Danish celebration. I think the next one probably might be Friedrich and Mary's 25th anniversary.
Yeah, unless we have a big party for Benedicta next year, but yeah.
And then after that, there will probably be Queen Margaret's 90th birthday, so that's pretty far ahead.
Yeah.
But the silver wedding will be... silver weddings are always celebrated a lot in Denmark, so let's expect... I think we can expect something special.
Yes. And
I really hope so.
And silver wedding is not too far away, so... And comparatively, well, we could see the Norwegian silver wedding would be 2026, whereas the Danish one would be 2029. So that's very.
There's still some years ahead. Yeah.
No, it'll be interesting kind of looking at for the next few years, having seen all these roles grow up. And then maybe for Estelle's birthday in 7 years, 2030. We'll see the recreation of this picture, and like you're saying, who knows who'll be married, who might have kids. It'll be fun to follow.
It'll be so interesting to see and follow, yeah.
Definitely. So thank you so much, both of you, for joining us today. And I had a really fun time.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure to join you guys again.
Definitely. And I mean, we have a lot of fun talking in our WhatsApp chat, but this is... much more kind of able to enunciate everything and talk about and be more thorough. Perfect. And I think Sam, you can stop.